This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Good afternoon, 12:03, Thursday, June 27th, 2024. Thanks so much for joining us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane, in for Rob Hart. As the presidential race heats up with tonight's debate, it is wise to avoid letting politics cloud your investment decisions. Joining us to discuss why that is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, now we've heard it a few times this week leading up to this evening's debate that investing and politics do not mix. Why, in your opinion, is that?
It's because most of us are almost every one of us is unable to be truly objective about what the significance is of what's happening in electoral politics, what the significance of that is for the markets. I don't want to claim from some theoretical point of view that what's going on electorally has no influence on what the markets may do. I think there's probably a connection there. The problem is that we can't see it. It turns out that Republicans will look at one thing and Democrats will look at that same thing and draw diametrically different conclusions. There's so much psychological as well as investment and behavioral economic research that's looked at this and found over and over again that we are unable to see objective reality when we look at something from the prism of our political polarization. And so chances are that when we look at something, even if in some theoretical way it could have some influence on where the markets will go in coming years, we probably aren't going to see it.
Well, Mark, you know, obviously, I think a lot of eyes will be on the debate tonight, and maybe those in the investing space, you know, depending on what they hear from one candidate, may, you know, start leaning away investment-wise. What strategies can investors kind of use to avoid the pitfalls here of mixing those politics and investing?
Well, I mean, there are two things, but I think the key for both of them is simply to rely on some objective measurement as opposed to our subjective assessment. So one thing is there is some research that suggests that the market, of course, does not like uncertainty. And so when there is additional uncertainty that is injected into electoral politics, as if there isn't already enough uncertainty, one can expect that the market may react poorly to that uncertainty. The other thing, though, I think, and probably better advice generally, is that when you are trying to devise your strategy, pick somebody on the opposite end of the political spectrum to have a discussion with. And it's interesting, when I mention this to my clients, a lot of them say, well, I don't know anyone on the other end of the spectrum, which is perhaps part of our societal problem, but that's a whole different discussion. But it's interesting. It's not that Democrats are wrong, Republicans are right. It's just that both are wrong and probably a closer estimate of what the truth of the matter is if you could discuss it with somebody who's diametrically opposed. And that is hard to do. Most people say, oh, God, I can't do that. But nonetheless, it's not bad advice.
Very helpful stuff, especially heading into tonight's debate. Thanks so much. That's Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, empty offices across the country posing a major economic threat, risking the wipeout of more than $250 billion in commercial property value. Joining us now to talk about the potential domino effect is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com. Jim, thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour. All right. So, you know, us driving here to the station, you know, downtown Chicago, it's hard to miss. There are a lot of empty office buildings in Chicago, and it seems that we are not alone here in Chicago, and then a potential commercial real estate crisis brewing there. Kind of your thoughts on where we sit here as far as some of these vacant buildings.
Great to join you, Andy, and I'd like to make an offer. I did a deep dive into commercial real estate in the March macro tides, and if listeners would like to get a lot of detail about this, jimwelshmacro@gmail.com, and I'll send you the March copy. Basically, what you have, Andy, is you see a lot of vacant buildings. That means the value of many office buildings have declined significantly. By the end of last year, they were down about 35%. What that means in the real world is if a building that was worth $10 million and is now worth $6.5 million, and the landlord borrowed a couple million dollars, in other words, they put up $8 million, borrowed $2 million, well, when that loan comes due, they're going to have to bring in capital to get the loan to value up towards that 80% mark. So that's one of the big hurdle rates that a lot of landlords face. And with so many office buildings vacant, the cash flow is declining as rents decline and as obviously leases expire and not renewed. So it's a big problem, I think, especially for next year.
So you mentioned next year. I want to kind of expand on that here, Jim. What are the long-term impacts? We're seeing kind of how the pandemic is having these impacts long-term. But you talk about these building vacancies. What could that mean, not even just next year, but maybe years in the future here?
Well, it's a continuing problem. I mean, we've seen a shift in terms of how people work in this country as opposed to going to the office. I think office attendance rate, if you will, is around 60%. So this is an endemic problem, Andy, that's not going to go away. And the banks have approached this issue the way they have in prior real estate cycles, where they extend and pretend. The idea being is we're going to roll loans over, modify terms, push them out into the future on the basis that things are going to get better. And the office vacancy rate is not likely to improve just because of the cultural shift we've seen taking place. So as this persists, the improvement isn't taking place. So again, we're running into a wall over the next year or so as more and more of these loans come due. And when a building is purchased, the landlords don't make monthly payments. It's a balloon loan. In other words, the loan's due in 3 or 5 years. The whole loan is due at that point in time. So that creates even a bigger problem for the banks. And just as an aside, the Florida Atlanta University, which specializes in looking at commercial real estate and banks, found that with banks with more than $10 billion in assets, 67 banks had a commercial real estate loan exposure more than 300% of their capital. So this is a problem for big banks. It's a bigger problem for smaller banks because they found with banks less than $10 billion in assets, 1,800 banks had loaned the ratio between their commercial real estate loans and their capital was more than 300%. So this is a problem, Andy, that's just not going to go away quickly.
A lot to keep an eye on. Great stuff as always. Thanks so much. That's Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com. Coming up, we'll talk something near and dear to my heart, Taco Bell. Taco Bell joining the rank of fast food giants tackling inflation by introducing affordably priced, craveable menu items. Joining us now with details is Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach here in Chicago. Izzy, thanks for being with us. It's been a pleasure filling in on the Noon Business Hour. We've talked a lot of interesting topics, perhaps none more exciting to me than Taco Bell. They're getting in on the value game here. What can you tell us?
Well, I think we could have seen this coming since McDonald's came out with their value meal and made a big deal out of it, obviously, over the last week or so. So I think once McDonald's put that out there, certainly Taco Bell is doing it. We're going to see everybody within the next, call it 15 days, they'll really start to be out there. The competition for the value meal is going to be fierce.
When we talk about offerings here, what can people expect as far as these maybe more affordable menu items go?
Well, that is interesting because they are still dealing with food prices and everything else. So they're going to be coming out, I think, with new sizes of, you know, things like tacos and the different things that they put in the value. So it's not going to be the same value meal that it was before. The big focus is going to be on that price point, $5.99, $6.99. So we'll see smaller items inside there. It's not going to be the large burger or the big taco meal that or burrito that we might have had before. But what they're trying to do is refocus the consumer on pricing, because everybody has been saying since COVID, boy, look at fast food prices. I might as well go to a full service restaurant, get service instead of just doing the drive through for the same price.
Well, Izzy, I'm curious, you mentioned obviously McDonald's and how this is in a lot of ways kind of talk about responding to that. You know, there's also Wendy's, there's other fast food giants, but you mentioned even some of the, you know, the nicer sit down restaurants. I'm curious kind of how the industry as a whole is responding to this push for more affordability. I mean, is this something that Wendy's will jump into next? Are maybe the other, you know, sit down restaurants, maybe talking places, you know, like Chili's, like an Applebee, you know, maybe not fine dining, but more casual. How is kind of the industry, you know, reacting to this?
Well, everybody, certainly in the competitive fast food market, you know, that competition will start to look at the price point and say to themselves, what can we do at $5.99 and $6.99? You know, but the Chili's and everybody else, they're looking at us at a different price point. But I think they're going to be looking at, you know, what can we do all in $12.99? Again, to pull people away and say, hey, for a few extra dollars, let's go to a restaurant, sit down, get full service, and go from there. And so they're going to be putting together unique packages as well. And it may not include, you know, an appetizer and something, but it just might be, you know, their own version of a full service sit down value meal at a good price point.
Really interesting stuff. Kind of gets you hungry thinking about it. Thanks so much. That's Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, the restaurant coach in Chicago. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, we look at the ethical and financial implications of AI-generated voices.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Bernie Tafoya. Residents of a south suburb are being ordered from their homes following the spillage of a substance during the derailment of tanker cars.
The U.S. Supreme Court issuing a decision impacting emergency abortions. In Technology Thursday, a controversy involving the use of artificial intelligence to generate voices. And Walgreens plans to close a significant number of locations. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 111 points, NASDAQ gaining 57, and the S&P up 6. AccuWeather says sunshine mixing with clouds today, cooler and less humid, a high of 73 degrees. Right now, 70 degrees, sunshine in Chicago at 12:30.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Breaking news from News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Now the latest on our breaking news. Residents of a south suburb being ordered from their homes following a derailment of tanker cars. Here's WBBM's Bernie Tafoya.
The mandatory evacuation is taking place in south suburban Madison. Late this morning, officials say tanker cars derailed on the CN Rail line at 217th and Main Street, and a substance is leaking from at least one of the tankers. Madison spokesman Sean Howard says it's unclear right now what substance emergency responders are going to have to deal with, and that the evacuation is being ordered as a precaution. In the meantime,
we're asking residents once again to take all the necessary medications and anything that's necessary to quality of life and remove themselves from the area. They're allowed to dial the Matteson Police Department, dial 911 for further assistance.
The area being evacuated is for 1 mile south of 217th and Main Street, 1 mile west of Main Street, and a quarter mile east of Main Street. Howard says residents are being notified by a phone messaging system and by police and others going through the community. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
The Supreme Court has cleared the way for hospitals in Idaho to provide emergency abortions, at least for the time being. The procedural ruling still leaves some key questions unanswered and could mean the case could return to the high court in the future. Here's CBS News correspondent Jan Crawford.
Five justices, a coalition of conservatives and liberals coming together to dismiss this case, which will send it back to the lower courts in Idaho for further study.
The ruling came after an opinion was briefly posted on the court's website accidentally, then quickly taken down.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks trading higher today, and joining us now with the latest on what is moving Wall Street is Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor. You can also check out Gary's website at garyk.com. Gary, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour today. Plenty of talk about a potential AI stock bubble looming. Want to start by getting your thoughts on that here.
Let's just say that people that call things bubbles usually are not in them as they are going up, so I'd be careful about that. Leave no doubt the AI has had a tremendous move led by NVIDIA. I'm not so sure it's over. And just remember the other part of the equation. There's some pretty good earnings on some of these companies, especially NVIDIA, that is driving the bus on this. And if there's anything that drives the markets, are strong earnings and revenue growth. So far, so good. I would suggest near term, they got ahead of themselves in the last week or so, so they're pulling back. The good news is a new group in technology is coming to the fore, and that's software stocks now.
Gary, when you talk about threats to the financial markets right now, where does your mind go?
Oh, well, I've been saying it for quite a while, and that's the debt and deficits that are going on right now. I'm just a big believer they're taunting the markets and taunting the economy. The Congressional Budget Office just came out and said we're going to be $56 trillion in debt within 10 years, which probably means $70 trillion. And I just wonder one day with the bond market's going to wake up and yields are going to go much higher, and there goes the economy. The good news is so far that hasn't happened. But again, I think they're really taunting markets and the economy going forward.
Your take on the Fed, how that plays into the markets right now, Gary?
The best news about the Fed is they haven't done anything. Just remember, they're the Fed funds rates. We don't really do much off the Fed funds rates as consumer. We deal with the 10-year yield, and the 10-year yield is at 4.28, while the Fed's at 5.25. So mortgage rates have come down, other rates have come down, and that's what I think helped the market. So we've had a rate cut already. The Fed, they would just be playing catch up. And I'm just happy that they're not doing much. Whenever they do too much, I think nothing but problems will cause.
Gary, any areas of the market catching your eyes now in terms of their price? Maybe any areas looking cheap to you right now?
It's not a matter of cheap. It's what's on the move and why. Software stocks. They have been lying in the weeds for a bunch of months right now as the semiconductors went front and center. But now software companies are really coming on, and there's good growth rates in them. Some of these companies are growing 30, 40, 50%. Oracle just gapped up on earnings. Good reaction there. Microsoft's at all-time highs. And now there's a bunch of software security names and others really starting to come on here. And let's hope it continues.
And Gary, before we let you go, heading into the weekend here, your advice to the income-oriented investor, maybe long-term advice the second half of 2024 here, where are you looking as the year rolls on?
Well, for income, it's a much better world than 3 years ago when rates were at zero. You can buy one-year treasuries and get over 5% right now. And just remember, there's two words attached to that, no risk. So everything you do in life is risk adjusted. Over 5% with no risk is a pretty darn number for income investors. And by the way, money markets are sitting around 5% also.
Great stuff. Really helpful stuff, as always. Thanks so much. That's Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and a Fox News business contributor. You can check out Gary online at GaryK.com.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Deerfield-based Walgreens planning to close what it says is a significant number of underperforming stores as the pharmacy giant looks to reset its struggling business. Joining us now with an update is Bruce Japsen, Forbes healthcare writer here in Chicago. Bruce, thanks for being with us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. So Walgreens, it seems, has been on a long, prolonged decline. What have you seen and kind of what brought us to this point where we're now expecting to see a lot of stores close their doors?
Yeah, Andy. Well, it's a very difficult time for Walgreens, which everybody knows, like iconic brand here in Chicago, just north of us in Deerfield. They, under the previous management under Roz Brewer, they invested about $8 billion in this doctor practices and attaching physician clinics to the sides of the store. They've scaled that back significantly and took a $6 billion charge against earnings in the previous quarter. So when you write down that, you've got a long way to go. They were not filling their patient panels as quickly as they thought they would. So now, Wall Street's very impatient with the company. They cut the dividend earlier this year to free up cash to spend in new things. Tim Wentworth, who's been there since October, he's said today, you know, he's got a new management team, new management in place. They will be working hard to establish relationships with health insurers and partners and so forth and so on. And they made $344 million in the quarter, which is significant, but not where Walgreens used to be. And so the company is talking about store closures, which is a little alarming to people because, you know, we don't remember it wasn't too long ago when Walgreens was opening a drugstore. You know, one about every other day, it seemed like, back about 10, 15 years ago. But they're scaling that back significantly. People are not shopping for retail items in stores like they used to. So what they're trying to do is fill up the stores with, you know, healthcare services and also invest in other more lucrative aspects of the pharmacy business, like specialty pharmacy, which, you know, are drugs that people take that are injected, infused, and that require, you know, special refrigeration and things like that. They need money to do that, and so they have not said how many stores are going to close. They have about 8,600, about 8,600 drug stores in the United States, but they're talking about when you say you're going to close a significant number, you know, there are speculation that could be run in the hundreds of stores.
Well, Bruce, have you look into your crystal ball here. You talk about kind of a turning things around, you know, not a full rebrand, obviously, but really changing the way that Walgreens stores will look moving forward. Where do you see kind of the future of Walgreens here, maybe in the months, years to come, if they do want to remain a sustainable industry and a sustainable business, where do you believe that they can and should go?
Well, here's the deal. Walgreens is still cranking out billions of dollars in revenue, right? So they're bringing in billions of dollars in revenue. They have to figure out where to invest the money that they have. They admittedly didn't do well by saying we're going to attach doctor practices to our clinics. There's a primary care physician shortage, blah, blah, blah. We can get into that another time. But the difference between Walgreens and CVS is CVS owns a health insurance company. So they have 25 million Aetna members that they can entice through copays and this and that to go to the CVS. Walgreens doesn't have that. Walgreens, to survive, is going to have to establish some strong relationships with employers and health insurance companies and whatever to make sure their customers are going to Walgreens. Walgreens has a lot of good assets. They have an app that people use. They say they get millions of people using it and so forth. They need to invest in areas that people are using their services, and they need to find a way to increase the business and invest in to ramp up these more lucrative areas like specialty pharmacy, healthcare services and goods in the stores. And also, listen, in retail, it's tough. You know, Walgreens, sadly, what could be a concern is that the underperforming stores might tend to be in poor neighborhoods where there's high crime. These retail drug stores are spending a lot of money in areas to make sure their employees are safe, the stores are safe, the items are safe. So it'll be interesting to see where they close stores, which could be unfortunate because these are destinations for people who don't have a lot of places to go to get healthcare items. So it'll be interesting to see where they close these underperforming stores.
A lot to keep an eye on here in the weeks and months to come. Great stuff. Thanks so much. That's Bruce Japsen, Forbes healthcare writer here in Chicago. Up next in Technology Thursday, we look at the ethical and financial implications of AI-generated voices.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Technology Thursday. AI voice generators are advancing quickly, finding a host of applications in a variety of areas. NBC's use of an AI-generated Al Michaels' voice for the Summer Olympics highlighting the trend. Joining us now to discuss the tech and some of the ethical concerns is Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group and professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Shelley, thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour today. Let's start with that NBC decision. Al Michaels is still with us, yet an AI version of his voice, I think, had a lot of people scratching their heads on social media yesterday. Kind of take us through that decision there.
Well, look, there's only one Al Michaels. There's hundreds and hundreds of custom voiceovers they need to do. Ordinarily, he'd be limited by what he could do sitting in a voiceover booth in a studio. Here, they can sample his voice, clone it, and use it everywhere. So he's with us. He's getting paid. This is a synthetic Al Michaels. Is it a good idea or a bad idea? The audience will choose. I don't know that very many people are going to be able to tell the difference between the real Al Michaels and the cloned Al Michaels, but it'll be interesting if they do. Where the ethics get crazy is when the person is no longer with us or it's done without consent. Then we really start to have some ethical issues. But here, I think NBC has made a business decision that more Al Michaels is better than less Al Michaels, and we'll see how it goes.
It's a good point. And you know, I'm curious, you mentioned that a lot of people, or at least some of us, won't even be able to tell the difference, which is neat, you know, as a consumer. It's also slightly terrifying. What does that say about kind of maybe the advances that AI is making at this pace?
I think you have to imagine that we are entering the era of social production, and whatever you think social media did to media, that is what social production is going to do to production. You basically describe something you want, and AI will produce it for you, and this is going to get better and better every day. This has vast implications for business, for our society, for politics, for messaging, for communication, and I don't think anyone can speculate as to how vast these consequences will be, but rest assured, the world we live in has changed. I like to now call this the generative era, where no humans are no longer the sole creators of information on this planet. And it's the first time it's ever happened, so no one knows how it's going to go.
It is really fascinating stuff. Thanks so much. That is Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group and professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's also a pause and rewind function that works online and with the Odyssey app.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.